also understood that Jesus revealed that there was evil there. And when confronted with that, the man came with an honest question. And when he asked the question, and Jesus gave him a response, and the ultimate response was that this man had to go and do some things. And we know by the story that this rich young ruler, the Bible said, he went away sad, he was grieved, for he had many possessions. And so we talked about how that inside of individuals there is, the Apostle Paul said, To do good is present. I want to do good, but I also find that evil is present. We all have that struggle. We all have that that fighting, if you will, between flesh and spirit, and wanting to do good, but our carnality and our carnal appetite wanting to do evil. And so we talked about that. And tonight I want to take it more from an individual basis, if you will, and talk about society as a whole. We understand that as individuals, we want to endeavor in our lives to do that which is good and abstain from that which is evil. But in order to do that, in order to do good and perform that which is good, we have to know what good is. We have to understand that without, as we've talked about in previous studies, there is no good without God, because God is the only one who is good. And so we must have God. We must have a relationship with God. We must look into His Word, and we must understand what good is, not based upon popular opinion, not based upon what society says, not even based upon what someone else may say, not even based upon what someone who professes to be a preacher or a minister of the gospel, the good news. We have to find out. There has to be revelation for ourselves and our walk in relationship with God through our interaction with Him and His Word for us to be able to determine what good is. And so I want to look at a passage of scripture. It's found in Romans chapter number 16, verses 17 through 19. Paul, writing the church at Rome, says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would," and I want you to pay particular attention to what the Apostle Paul says here in this last phrase, "but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." I'd have you wise unto that which is good, and I'd have you simple concerning that which is evil. If you're going to be educated about something, be educated about what is good. If you really want to have wisdom and understanding, well then understand and be wise unto that which is good. And this is the premise, and we're gonna delve into it a little bit deeper. But the premise of this passage, and what I want to drive home tonight, is that if we would concentrate more on what is good, if we would desire in ourselves to know more about what is good and be wise unto that which is good, guess what? We wouldn't have to worry about what was evil so much. If we would be wise unto what is good, if we would be wise unto what thus saith the word of God, if we would be wise unto how God speaks into our heart and into our lives, we don't have to be very educated about evil. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, I would that you would be wise unto good and simple concerning evil. But here's the problem. Here's what I want to talk about. Wise to the good, simple concerning evil. We live in a world that has become very educated in evil. They have become very educated in evil. Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Well, look at what was happening in the days of Noah. Before the flood, this is what was happening. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Only evil continually. Every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. Now, I begin to think about that. And the Bible says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil, only evil continually. And then I went and I wanted to find some scripture that would parallel to this and concerning our society and the day in which we live. And I didn't really have to think very hard or even I remembered as a kid as I studied the book of Romans and Bible quizzing and immediately verses in the book of Romans came to mind and I thought we live in a society of skilled sinners. Now think about that for a minute. They're educated in evil. We live in a society of skilled sinners. And the Apostle Paul, referencing the end time, said they're going to be backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. And look at this next phrase, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. They're so educated in evil that they're inventing evil things. They're finding ways to become more evil. They're educated in evil. And I thought to myself, is that not a picture of our society? Is that not the world in which we live? It almost seems as though society seeks ways to become worse, not become better. In their mind, and maybe on the surface, they think it's better, but in reality, spiritually, it become worse. How many have you heard throughout this political season that the majority of Americans believe that America is on the wrong track? Yeah. Newsflash. We've been on the wrong track for a while. A long while. And now we're just coming to the realization. Now we're just understanding that, folks, we've been in this way for a long time. We have been seeking ways for evil to abound under the auspices of it being good. This is better for society, really? Well, look at where we are now. How much better are we as a society? How much better are we as a United States of America? Now, I'm not going to just bash our country the whole night, but we need to understand that we live in a society that is becoming increasingly educated in evil, and they are becoming simple concerning good. They don't understand what is good anymore. And now they call evil good and good evil. And we live in that society. We live in that day and age. I had lunch with a gentleman today who's he's of another faith, but he admitted to me today that he and his wife are looking for other churches because the church which he attends, he told me on a he said, listen, he said, I just don't feel like it's all feel good. It's all pat me on the back, and I need somebody to preach to me. And I thought to myself, wow, that's what a basis of a hunger. And I told him about a series that I was doing. I said, man, I'm talking about those things, discerning between good and evil. And we live in a society where even our churches are now, they're not calling sin anymore. And that troubles me because we're not educating people on what is good. We're calling things that are evil. We're acting as if they should exist and they're okay in the church and they're okay in your lives. When we understand by the example that we read about last week, Jesus didn't allow the evil to exist in the young man's life. Jesus didn't look at him and say, okay, well, you got this evil in you, but come ahead and follow me. He said, no, you got to do some things. There's some changes that have to be made in your life. And so we are not educating people on what is good anymore because we don't want to offend them. We don't want them to think that they're doing things wrong. Well, newsflash, you are doing things wrong. I'm doing things wrong. You're doing things wrong. And I need somebody to steer me. I need somebody to open my eyes. I need a walking relationship with God that shows me what good is so I can remain good and abstain from evil. So I can do what is right. I want to look at another society in Scripture. Another similar society. Here, it's right before the children of Israel are taken into Babylon as captives. And this is the word that comes to Jeremiah. This is the word, and there's multiple other words, but this word that God gives Jeremiah stands out to me. Because this is what is said in Jeremiah 4:22. This is the reason why, just a few verses prior to this verse, Jeremiah is saying destruction, destruction has come. Jeremiah would not be a welcome preacher in our society. Jeremiah would probably not have his own show. And I dare say Jeremiah would probably have a very small following, because he was not a popular preacher. And what he prophesied was not what the people wanted to hear, because what he was prophesying was God's impending judgment. And the reason why God was going to judge them is right here. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Thought to myself, my goodness, if that is not a sad statement. These people, think about this. These were God's chosen people. These were the people of Israel. What a sad statement in regards to society that was supposed to be set apart and an example of what is good. They were supposed to be a society that was set apart. They were supposed to be a society. It was the example of good. Hold on to your hats. Because the USA is supposed to be the example of a Christian nation. We're supposed to be one nation under God. I'm not a big one to get on politics, but there is a man who I have heard numerous times of late, and every time I've heard the man speak, when he says something, it resonates with me. He's a very conservative man. I don't know everything about him. I can only tell you what I've heard him say in numerous speeches and how I've heard him call things that are wrong, wrong. But if you want to hear something that's needs to be heard, let me put it that way. You need to listen to Trey Gowdy's speech at Liberty University. You need to hear what this man says, because he says some very poignant things. And I want to bring a few of them out because I think they're applicable to what we're talking about. Because in his speech that he gave at Liberty University, he talked about asking his employees two questions. He asked them two questions. The first question was this: which do you value more, truth or freedom? Which do you value more, truth or freedom? He's stood them all around. He asked every single one of them, which do you value more, truth or freedom? And every single one of them responded, freedom. Folks, these are the up and coming in our government. These are the up and coming. This is the generation who is going to be passing laws. These are individuals who have a desire to be in the government. This is the generation. Think about this. Which do you value more, truth or freedom? And every single one of them said freedom. And then he asked this question: which do you value more, unity or diversity? Now think about it. He's asking individuals who want to be a part of the government of the United States of America. He's asking a generation that is going to be political, and their pursuit is to pass laws, and their pursuit is to lead our country. And I say it for emphasis, the United States of America. And he asked them, which do you value more, unity or diversity? And every single one of them but one, there was only one in the whole group that said unity. The rest of them said diversity. When I heard him say that,
something in my heart went, oh, my Lord. We are the society that Jeremiah lived in. We don't even understand. And then he said, wait a second. Somewhere along the line, he said this in his speech, somewhere along the line, we must ask ourselves, what is the benefit of the freedom to be wrong? But we value freedom more than we value truth. We value the ability to be able to decipher for ourselves what is right or wrong rather than the actual knowledge or the truth of what is right or wrong. How does that play out? And we'd rather have diversity. He said, is there such things as good or and bad, or has it all become relative? And I thought to myself, it's all become relative. Unfortunately, it has. For mainstream society, it has all become relative. It's all shades of gray. Good is what I think good to be, and bad is what I think bad to be. I'm going to prove it to you here in a little bit that this is where our society is. This is the generation that is coming. This is, we, and it's our fault. Now, hey, I know that may have been like slapping you with a wet towel, but it's our fault because we haven't educated them in what is good. And so they decide to educate themselves. And when you educate yourself on what is good without going to the source of good and without going to God and His good book, and you decipher for yourself what is good and what is wrong, the only possible outcome is every imagination of the thoughts of the heart become evil continually. Whenever man does what is right in his own eyes, it ends up being wrong. So it is so important. What do I value more, truth or freedom? I value truth because guess what? If this country continues on the path that it is on, I will have to decide between those two. And I will have to decide, and maybe my children will have to decide if they're still willing to proclaim truth in their conversation, in their lifestyle, even if it means their freedom being taken from them. Whew. I know this is a tough pill to swallow, and I'm not trying to be some prophet concerning the way of our nation, but it's pretty clear according to Scripture. You don't have to be that educated according to Scripture to see what happens to a people who forgets God. You don't have to be all that clairvoyant, and you don't have to understand all the Scriptures to understand that when you and I start deciding what is good and what is evil, and we leave God out of it, we become entirely evil. So look at this verse of Scripture. Look at where we started in the verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offensive contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And but by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple. Because they don't know. Because they're not educated in what is good. They don't know their fair words, their good words, and their fair speeches. So what's being said must be good for me. It's good words, fair speeches. And when I don't know, you see, let me just tell you something that happened to me. I think it was even maybe last night or today. I flipped open my son's planner for school. And at the top, it had this quotation about being loyal and having integrity and your character and all these different things. And I thought about it for a second, and I said, man, that's really neat. School has this school planner, and it talks about integrity and character and loyalty, but then it hit me. I said, wait a second. It's not the school's job to teach my kid that. Teach him division. Teach him science. But when it comes to his loyalty and his character, that's my job. That's not your job. And the unfortunate reality is that we don't have it happening in our homes anymore. Parents don't know how to teach their kids what is right and what is wrong. They don't know what good is themselves. So how in the world are they going to teach a generation what is good? And so it starts in the home. And the reality is, because so many failures are happening in the homes, it's going into our schools. So some of the schools are trying to take up a banner about being loyal and having integrity and your character. And I thought to myself, that's all well and good. And I'm not demeaning what our educators are trying to do. Please understand me. This is not a slight against them. But I thought to myself, that's not my son's teacher's job. That's my job. I got to teach him what is good. I got to show him what is right and what is wrong, because as he grows up, there's going to be so many voices of confusion, and there's going to be so many people who are not educated about what is good. And in reality, the only education they have is in what is evil. And they're going to have a voice in his life. And my voice and the voice of God has to be greater than all those voices. Because if he grows up and he decides to pursue education, and I'm not against education, and I'm not against furthering yourself, but I pray to the good Lord that boy's got enough Holy Ghost in his life that when he sits in front of a professor who's only educated in evil and doesn't know what good is, and he tries to tell my boy what is right and what is wrong, there's something inside of him that he begins to speak up and say, no, 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 no. But that's on me. It's my job to make sure he's understanding what is right and what is wrong. Because if I leave it up to society, I'm sorry, I'm not here to offend anybody, but if I leave it up to society, and matter of fact, if I leave it up to our present education system, why in the world am I going to sit back and wonder why evil is abounding? If I haven't done my job, mama, daddy, it's your job. It's your job to help them understand what is good and what is evil. Diversity concerning what is good and evil. Freedom to make my own opinion about what is right and what is wrong. It's leading the way in the education of evil. Catch that. It's leading the way in the education of evil. Make up my own mind to what right is and what wrong is and what good is and what evil is. People who will not educate others on what is good only breed more evil. And they, the Bible says, are to be avoided. They don't understand. They don't know what good is. So how can they teach you what good is? They don't know themselves. They're confused themselves. So how are they going to be able to clarify it for you? We are educating entire generations in evil because we are no longer wise to what is good. I'm going to say that we are educating entire generations in evil because we no longer are wise unto good. Because we don't read the word like we should. And we don't have the relationship with God like we should. And we're not being able. I've said it before, I'll say it again. How do I expect those that are coming after me to be able to discern between good and evil if I can't do it myself? It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The first part of that verse says a lot. It talks about obedience. Think about recent events in our society. Obedience, submission to authority has become evil. Let me just lay it out there for you. What's being portrayed in the media? The majority of law enforcement is bad. They're a bunch of gunslinging, happy shooters. Am I right or wrong?
obedience, submission to authority? That's evil. Why? Because that's oppression. That's oppressing you and what you feel to be right or wrong. If you submit and you obey to somebody else, well, that's jeopardizing your own, that's violating your freedom. Your freedom to do what you want to do and live how you want to live. And therefore, the only thing I want to obey then is my carnal appetite. The only obedience I'm concerned with is just obeying what I want to do. And this is what Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 6:12. Let not, what? Sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I'm not going to submit to authority. Let me just tell you a little something. If somebody who had authority over me was treating me incorrectly, guess what? I got enough upbringing in my life that I would still be respectful and I would still be submitted to the authority in my life. Why? Because that's the way I was raised. I was raised that way. I was raised that you respect authority. You're obedient to authority. When they tell you to do something, you do it. I know. Say this is not popular in our day and age. This kind of teaching is that, well, you know, it's you have respect for authority. The Bible teaches, obey them that have rule over you, for they have watched care for your soul. Let me tell you a big problem with our society today. I'm just going to put it out there. It is simply this, that our politicians have more pull than our pastors. Now, I'm not saying all pastors are good. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what people have submitted to and what people, and now they're reaching to the point where they don't even want to submit to that anymore. And I'm just going to say it. I have never in my lifetime seen society more on the verge of anarchy than what I see right now. And let's just be honest. I'm somewhat fearful of what's going to happen on November 9th. I don't know. I know who holds it. I'm not worried about it in that sense, but God only knows what's going to transpire. What we see in our political environment right now, it's astounding. It's absolutely astounding. And the more you look into it, the more evil you see. The more evil that is evident. Anybody with a half sense looking into what's going on in our day and age can readily see the evil that abounds in our society. It's not somebody else's fault. It's our fault. It's a collective indictment against our lack of wisdom concerning what is good. I'll get off my soapbox. Well, I guess I'm almost done. Is it back? The wisdom of and the obedience to good, here's the premise, will have us avoiding evil. Let's go back real quick, and I'll say this in closing. The wisdom of and the obedience to. The man came to Jesus, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, wanted to know. So he lacked wisdom concerning what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Correct? That's what he came. That's the question that he came. He lacked wisdom as to what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. That was his question. Jesus supplied the answer. Jesus gave him what he needed to do. Did he not? So what happened? Where did the failure take place? At that point in time, did the young man know? Did the rich young ruler know what was good? Sure he did. Jesus told him, Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor. Come and follow me. At that point, Jesus gave him the wisdom as to what he needed to do. Where the young man failed is in obedience. He did not obey. He decided that his treasures and his possessions meant more to him than serving God. Now, let's look at another. Let me ask you this. Where's another rich young ruler in the Bible? Another rich young ruler in the Bible. I give you a hint. Old Testament. Young, powerful. King David was one. Who? Solomon? Let me clarify the question a little more. A rich young ruler who gave up everything, who did the opposite of this rich young ruler. Now it's got you stumped. There's a rich young ruler in the Bible who did the opposite of what this rich young ruler did. This rich young ruler gave up everything that he had to follow the people of God. Moses, raised a prince of Egypt, had treasures, wealth, everything anybody could ever want. But his obedience to the will of God made him esteem the riches of Christ above the pleasures in Egypt. Why was Moses such an amazing man? And here, think about it. And every time you hear the people complaining about what they had in Egypt, oh, take us back. We want the leeks and the onions. You gave up leeks and onions and stripes on your back and stomping mud bricks. And he gave up Ferrari chariots and riches and power and prestige. And Stephen tells us he was mighty in word and deed. And how dare you? No wonder God got so mad. Here this dude is, 40 years in the desert, barely anything but the clothes on his back, after being 40 years in a palace. He was a rich young ruler, y'all. And he gave it up. He did. It was obedience. Catch the understanding. Why? Because he knew staying in Egypt would have been evil. Staying in Egypt would have not been what God wanted for him. And so he despised the riches of evil. And he went for that which is good. Wow. And how many today would make the choice that Moses made? What was he going for? Oh, he was going for the promised land. Let me ask you this. What did the promised land have that he didn't already have in Egypt? Think on that for a while. You see, we're mistaken. He wasn't seeking the promise. He was seeking the presence of God. He was seeking goodness. And his desire for goodness caused him to get rid of the riches, and it caused him to say bye-bye to evil Egypt and hello to a desert. I better start wrapping up. I'm going to go for a little while on this one. But you think about this rich young ruler and the choice that he made and his obedience to a voice from a burning bush to go and do. And not one time do you ever see or hear or read of Moses looking back on what he gave up in Egypt. Not one time. You can stand to your feet. Lord, help us. We have so neglected the wisdom of what is good.
I wonder why theories like evolution have such a foothold in our society. Because the book that said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, was removed from our schools. I'm sorry, but we need to understand, when we stopped educating generations on what is good, it is no wonder we deal with the evil that we deal with. Because society, they have become the opposite of what Paul wrote to the Roman church. They have become wise to the evil and simple to the good. And so, Lord, help me. I made the statement today in the conversation with the other individual. If we as the church cease to hold up the standard, if we as the church just start capitulating and compromising and allowing evil to exist within our institution, how will we ever be a city that is set upon a hill? We become like every other region. Lord, help me to be wise unto what is good and simple concerning evil. I want to know what good is because I want to be able to teach others what good is. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word spells it out. We can see therein what we all need to do. But Lord, the travesty of it is that many times we refuse to do it. We refuse to look into the perfect law of liberty. We decide upon our own intellect and our own minds. We make choices based upon our hearts and our feelings, God, and it leads us astray. It takes us to where evil abounds. It educates us in things, God, that are wrong. Lord, help us to get back to your book. Help us to get back into a relationship with you, God, where you define for us what good is. Where we see according to your will and according to your word. We are wise concerning what is good and simple concerning evil. We need your guidance, Lord. We need your wisdom. We need your help to be who you would have us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.